Can you help keep Bob Enyart on the air for another year? I know you can do it. Every subscription, we're giving away Bob's brand new video on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Have you ever wondered what happened to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Have you ever wondered why it is that God put that tree in the midst of the garden? I've wondered a lot of things about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Bob's brand new video version of his insightful teaching on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is free for anyone who subscribes to any of our monthly subscriptions. Folks, I know you get a lot out of Bob Enyart Live, and it's time to pay a little bit forward. Help keep Bob Enyart Live on the air. Call us up or go to kgov.com, subscribe to one of Bob's monthly teaching series, or just make a donation, $5, $10, $5,000, $10,000. It's the Bob Enyart Telethon. We need your help to keep on the air. God bless you.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm barely here, but I'm here. Thank you, Bob.
I want to make a prediction.
Oh, a prediction. Now, you're not one to make predictions off the cuff.
No.
Although you've made a few over the years.
And I told you I wanted to make a prediction on today's show, and you pulled up a list of BEL predictions.
I've got it right here. We're going to go over this, Mr. Enyart.
So I want to make a prediction about Tom Tancredo.
Tom Tancredo, responsible in part for the most uncomfortable 30 minutes of my life a couple days ago. That was just unbearable.
That was, this week, Tom Tancredo on pot. Yeah. I'm Bob Enyart Live. To read the show summary. Now, you could listen to the 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's a bit difficult.
It's painful. Yeah.
But the show summary is funny.
It's very well done. In the show summary, you actually have an opportunity to make a couple of points completely, right, which he did not give you the opportunity. You've had more congenial interviews with flaming liberals. Mm. Tom was obviously flustered. You upset him.
Well, he was making arguments which every point he made contradicted the point he had just made.
Yes.
He contradicted himself just relentlessly.
Yeah. Mm. You know, he denied that the godless libertarian ideas he was endorsing was a slippery slope toward irrationality while simultaneously sliding into irrationality over and over. It was just painful. Bob, in 2008, I had his sign in my front yard. Ooh. I think I voted for him for the governor of the state of Colorado.
Well, why don't I hold off on my prediction?
You going to make a prediction?
About Tom Tancredo. And why don't we look at some of the historic predictions?
You've made some much more important. Of course, the high watermark of my prediction career occurred during the NFL playoffs last year when I predicted that, of course, Tim Tebow would lead the Denver Broncos.
The Steelers. To the playoffs.
Now, in the big picture, though.
That was fun.
It's not all that important of a prediction. But I want to remind you of some predictions you've made over the years.
And I've only begun to look at this list. It is about a half a dozen predictions.
Yeah. You've made some.
So let's talk through.
Well,
let's
talk about, you remember the case of Lawrence v. Texas?
In Texas. Where the U.S. Supreme Court said that basically homosexuality is fine.
It cannot be criminalized.
Right. Threw out Texas had a law against homosexual behavior.
Right.
And I remember the whole thing about where our Christian leaders began drinking their own Kool-Aid about our Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, who, Doug, they said, at least Clarence Thomas is with us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They didn't read his one-page ruling. He issued this dissent, basically.
Yeah.
And he said that these anti-homosexual laws are atrocious. They're egregious. But they need to be overturned in a better way.
Yeah.
So he wasn't with us.
No.
When focus on the family, it's almost like you're listening to liberal Democrats the way they spin things.
Yeah.
Clarence Thomas is completely in the homosexual camp,
mm-hmm.
but he just wants to do it the right way.
That's right. He wants all the I's dotted and the T's crossed.
Which is even worse than doing it the wrong way. If you're going to do something wicked, then is it better to just do it or to do it like in Israel when they stoned Stephen.
Mm.
They murdered Stephen.
But they made sure they took him outside the city walls.
Outside, because that's their right. law was they could not stone someone inside the city walls.
Mm.
So if they were so filled with rage that they just killed him, then that's a terrible crime.
Right.
But imagine you're so filled with rage, but you say, well, we're going to bring him outside of the city. We're going to kill him the right way.
Yeah.
And then you murder him. That's worse.
More egregious in the eyes of God.
Right. But I do remember the ruling.
I just remember
Lawrence
that you made a prediction that the ruling would logically eventually lead to legal challenges to decriminalize things like polygamy, prostitution, incest. You made those predictions in 2003.
Right.
And in 2007, Time magazine printed an article that said basically that you were right. That these challenges are forthcoming, and now they are forthcoming. They're on the dockets. The laws against sodomy
and
incest and all these other... Yeah.
They're being attacked. And from Time magazine, they said this, that the anti-homosexual critics were right in 2003 when the U.S. Supreme Court struck down a homosexual sodomy prohibition in Lawrence v. Texas, and that lawyers would use that precedent, which absurdly claimed that for consenting adults, the government cannot make private sexual conduct a crime. Like, how about incest?
Well, how about
prostitution?
It now? Well, how about
and
it
so
now?
On.
There's obviously an open question now in the eyes
right.
of the secular judiciary.
So the Time magazine pointed out that folks like Bob and Yurt Live, Doug McBurney, that we were right in that this was going to be used as a wedge to further erode biblical morality.
Yeah, and it's happening. And I would relate that directly to another prediction you made circa 1992-ish.
Oh, yeah.
When you predicted that Focus on the Family had come out with a new standard for judging homosexuality and homosexuals, that they should have equal rights but not special rights. You remember that during the Amendment 2 campaign in 1992. And you predicted that this would lead basically to a total collapse of the moral, biblical argument against homosexuality being a crime.
Right. That is so true. That Focus on the Family, now we criticized them for this, and they did then retract it. But it's in their hearts and minds. It was on the front page of the Denver Post.
Mm-hmm.
They said, we have no objection to a homosexual being nominated or put on the Supreme Court.
Wow.
So
that was Focus on the Family,
conservative
Christian organization,
right. Public policy spokesperson.
Mm-hmm.
So how would that justice rule on homosexual marriage, which Focus on the Family cares so much about?
Yeah.
How would that justice rule on homosexuals adopting kids, which they used to care about?
Yeah.
How would that justice rule on forcing families and churches and businesses to accommodate homosexuality,
mm-hmm.
which Focus on the Family used to care about? Now, Doug, they've also said this. Well, Tom Tancredo broke the news that Focus on the Family will not oppose legalizing recreational use of marijuana.
I believe they said they were not going to take a position.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you know, there's a song.
They will not oppose.
There's a song that says, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice.
Yeah.
And you can't get away with saying I'm going to be neutral.
Right.
Focus.
Not on a moral issue.
I'm sorry.
Not on a moral issue.
Yeah. And the guys who wrote that song, they were all potheads. But they knew.
They knew.
That's right.
So, Doug, Focus on the Family has now told us, we document Focus on the Strategy 1, 2, and 3, that trilogy documentary, that Focus on the Family now opposes their own Amendment 2, that they led the statewide battle in Colorado to pass Amendment 2, which basically put the brakes on the homosexual agenda.
Mm.
It was narrowly crafted to, and it was a principled law that said homosexuals cannot force their agenda on families and
on
businesses.
Yeah.
And so what happened now is they have said, we no longer support that kind of law.
Yeah.
We oppose that kind of law. It has been a total collapse. With now millions of young people, this is 20 years now since then.
Yeah, it's been 20
millions
years.
Of Christian young people no longer know that homosexuality is wrong or that even sex before marriage is wrong.
You're right. And now someone like you who espouses nothing more than the traditional biblical view is considered, even by someone like Tom Tancredo, to be a radical. A conspiracy theorist with this tinfoil hat looking for the black helicopters.
Right. And, Doug, they have questioned our motives. They've said that we're envious and bitter. Dr. James Dobson said this to Judy Brown, the president of American Life League, that that's why we criticize them, because we're envious of all their revenue and all the stations they're on.
Yeah, well.
And what's interesting is, if this were true, would we get the support of men like J.C. Watts, who we interviewed last Thursday?
Well, no, not if you were just ranting childishly jealous.
If our big case against Focus and against National Right to Life and against, if our big case was that we're bitter and envy because we don't have more, why would Alan Keyes come up alongside
us? Yeah, I don't think you could slip that past Alan Keyes or J.C. Watts. I think they would recognize that if it were true, but it's not
true. So. But what reason would they have to agree with us in our criticism?
Absolutely.
Alan Keyes signed our open letter to Dr. Dobson.
Mm-hmm.
So if this was just because we're bitter or envious or we want the money they have, how are you going to get, and there's got to be examples of that in the world around us.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I don't think if you find that person who hates Dr. Dobson because he became a millionaire, are you going to find J.C. Watts going up alongside that person and saying, you know what, I agree with you?
I don't think so.
No.
J.C.'s pretty bright.
No, they're going to look for substantive criticism of the brokenness of the pro-family movement.
Absolutely, which is exactly what Focus on the Strategy 1, 2, and 3 encapsulates. It's what the book by Greg Jackson and Steve Dace, We Won't Get Fooled Again, it's exactly what that talks about.
Judge Roy Moore saying that the partial birth abortion ban was a fiasco, a wickedly egregious ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
He repented that he had supported the ruling.
Yeah. So,
all right.
So let's continue.
So
now.
That was a prediction on 1992 on this new equal rights for homosexuality, where that would lead us.
Yeah. Yep.
And then 2003 with Lawrence v. Texas.
Okay, now in 2000, in the run-up to the presidential election, and I remember this cost you some friendships and some relationships.
Relationships? I remember some, specifically the names of people who became so angry at me, basically disfellowshipped.
Yes, they did.
And, of course, in our audience, it cost us, you know, the ability to stay on the air without almost desperately trying to pay our bills month
to month. And speaking of that, the telethon continues. I'm not sure where we are.
About $11,000.
We haven't yet even made it halfway toward our $30,000 goal, and that's a real need, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
So we just talked about Focus on the Strategy. Go to the website, go to the store, order a copy of Focus on the Strategy, and while you're there, subscribe to one of the monthly teaching materials.
The monthly Bible studies,
yes.
Audio or DVD.
Subscribe.
And if you give $100 or more to the telethon, we'll send you, as a thank you, a signed copy of Greg Jackson's book, We Won't Get Fooled Again.
All right.
All right.
Awesome. And if you send $1,000, we'll interview you on the air, maybe. We'll have to pre-screen that.
If you're interested.
You'd have to be interesting.
You'd got to be interesting to send $1,000.
Yeah, you'd think you'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
But back to your prediction. In 2000, you predicted that George W. Bush would spend more money, would spend more liberally than did Bill Clinton.
Come on.
How could I possibly?
That's true.
You did say that. You predicted that.
And I had been saying that for years by then of the Republican Party generally.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't know. Is it true? Did George W. Bush spend more money than the Clinton administration?
Well, I have from Wikipedia, not an unimpeachable source.
No.
But this has been double and triple sourced.
Yeah.
President Bush expanded.
This is easy to document.
Yeah, yeah. President George W. Bush expanded public spending by 70%, more than double the increase under Bubba Bill Jeff. Clinton.
President Clinton.
That's right.
And if you take out military spending,
mm-hmm.
he still dramatically increased social spending over Bill Clinton.
Well, Medicare Part D.
And if you take out all of the social spending other than to abortionist organizations, he increased the spending, the tax money that went to Planned Parenthood, by hundreds of millions of dollars over George W. Bush.
Yeah. The truth is what it is.
And Doug, the American Enterprise Institute, just a couple weeks ago, came out with a survey of the last half a century.
That's right.
From 1960 to 2010, and they said the Republican administrations have outspent the Democratic administrations with increases of 8% annually above the Democratic increases.
Mm. It kind of defeats the root word of the word conservative, to conserve.
Right.
They're not conserving.
Right. And they're not economically conservative.
No, they're
not. You know what's worse? Now, the Republicans want to spend like drunken sailors with apology to the sailors.
Yes.
And the Democrats do, too. But the Democrats say, well, let's raise taxes to pay for it.
Right.
And the Republicans say, no, we're going to increase the spending, but we're not going to raise taxes.
Right.
And so you end up with the deficits
yeah.
growing faster so far under Republican administrations than Democrats. Now, Obama, it's going to be hard to keep that trend going.
That's going to be tough to beat.
But I have a lot of faith in Mitt Romney as being a liberal socialist.
Yeah.
Tax and spend politician.
He
so
could
we'll
do
see.
It. He could be the one who could break Obama's record.
Yeah.
All right. Now, also, you predicted in 2009 that when the government took over a controlling interest in General Motors,
right,
that their sales would plummet.
Ooh.
And if I'm not mistaken, they recently shut down the production line for the Chevy Volt. They completely shut it down. They just gave up.
They sold like 44 of the previous quarter.
Yeah. And
not 44,000.
A lot of people I know simply don't want to be associated with what is a genuinely socialist enterprise. And I don't use that as a derogatory. But if you look up socialism in the dictionary, the government
controls of the means of production.
Yeah.
And George W. Bush is just like Barack Obama. George W. Bush said, I know that people are telling me that government control of banks is against the free market.
Yes.
But we have to do it. The only way to save the free market is to violate the free market.
Yeah.
And he was wrong. And, you know, Ludwig von Mises would have a heart attack to see that these guys, they're socialist interventionists. And just like with Paul Ryan, that's what he is. Mitt Romney, that's what he is. So we have become our father's Democrats.
Mm.
We have become our father's Democrats. The conservative today tries to save the liberal social programs enacted by Democrats yesterday.
And I it bothers me so much to hear so-called fiscally conservative Republicans celebrating the fact that if we lower tax rates, revenues to the government will increase, which now I admit it's true. It does.
Yeah,
it's been
true,
proven to happen.
We should lower the rates. We should.
We should. But should we celebrate more money going to the government?
It's like saying you got a heroin addict and saying we found a way to get him more heroin. That is a crisis to give the federal government more. And they should point that out.
Yes.
We don't want more revenue going to the government.
No.
Of course not. Doug, here's one. Thank you for listing all these. I had forgotten most of these. 1994, with the Republican revolution in the House of Representatives.
Ah.
And because it's the second year of the Clinton administration, this is normal.
Yes.
House of Representatives turns over. Everybody's so excited. Obama, 2 years into the Obama administration. And so the House of Representatives became Republican.
Yeah, yeah.
Big deal. No kidding. That's what's supposed to happen.
Uh-huh.
It's not meaningful. And so I said in 1994... I said, you guys are all celebrating. This is Wednesday, the day after the election. I'm not celebrating. My audience is mad at me.
I was mad at you.
My prediction, you were mad.
I was.
Almost the whole audience. Yeah. It's changed in 20 years, Doug.
Yeah.
Today, there are thousands of Christians who openly agree with the assessment on Bob and Your
Life. Well, it's kind of hard to deny after 20 years.
20 years of saying the same thing. I want to beat my head against the wall, but it is helping. So this is what I said. In 2 years from now, America will be worse off than it is today. And the laws that are introduced and passed by these Republicans will be to blame.
Mm.
So we go 2 years later, and starting that year till this day, I still occasionally hear from listeners who said, Bob, when you said that, I thought you were crazy.
Yeah.
And then I knew that you're completely correct.
Yeah, that's right.
George H.W. Bush, big accomplishments, his social programs.
Yeah.
George W. Bush, his huge socialist government healthcare takeover of the prescription drug industry.
Right. Well, and No Child Left Behind.
Right.
More government control of the education of our children.
Right.
Just
exactly.
Disgusting.
And deficits and increasing the debt through the roof.
Yeah. Yeah, he did that. So one more. Circa 1999, you predicted live on the air that in the near future, a performer or an athlete would be killed live on stage or on the playing field.
Doug, I remember that.
Yes, because
murder is becoming mainstream.
Epidemic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Murder was becoming epidemic in 1999, obviously.
Right.
You made this prediction, and you may not even be aware that the prediction came true.
No, I do not know.
Well,
this.
There was a guitar player for a band called Damage Plan. Familiar? Do you have any of their records?
No.
Oh, well, earlier he was with Pantera.
Oh, that? Okay.
You've got some of those. Yeah.
I've never heard
No.
of them.
Okay. So we don't have any of their records, but we're going to accept that this is true because again, this is double and triple sourced. Well, Daryl,
at Wikipedia.
At Wikipedia, but I also read the contemporaneous reports when it happened.
Okay. All right.
This guitar player, Daryl Lance Abbott, was shot and killed while on stage during a Damage Plan performance on December 8th, 2004 at the Alarosa Villa in Columbus, Ohio. Mm. So it did happen.
Yeah, and because murder is now commonplace.
Yes.
It's commonplace, and we've accepted it, just like we've accepted that Republican conservatives strongly endorse socialism. Strongly.
Right. They're going to strengthen Medicare.
Right.
Didn't conservatives pull their hair out over Medicare and call it socialism at the time?
Right. The conservative today is the Republican who wants to save the liberal social programs created by liberals.
Yeah.
Created by Democrats.
Or they want to legalize the pot that the liberals are so enamored with
and
smoking.
And we do have to hurry up because we're headed toward the Tom Tancredo prediction.
That's right. Not unlike the fiscal cliff that we're headed toward.
That's right.
At the end of the year.
Because of the Republicans.
Yes.
Okay. So, Doug, here's another prediction that the CDC.
The Centers for Disease Control.
Now, I always spell that differently, the CDC.
You did?
S-E-E-D-Y-S-E-E. There's the Holy See in Rome.
And the CDC.
In Atlanta, there's the CDC. So I stated for years, and I was mocked for this, and Tom Tancredo didn't disagree, that we said that HIV transmission and AIDS is a homosexual disease.
Right.
And the CDC back then denied that, giving this false sense of security to homosexuals, tens of thousands of whom then killed themselves if they believed that lie.
Yeah.
And now the CDC has come full circle, and they acknowledge, they corroborate, they confirm the conservative Christians, like here on Bob and Yurt Live, that HIV was primarily a homosexual concern.
Mm, that's right.
Right.
Another prediction come true.
And that's a big one, I think.
Yeah.
I made a prediction about a sailor who was beat to death in San Diego.
I remember that.
And I said, with no evidence other than the headlines, no other information than what everyone in the audience has, he was beat to death not because...
It was a homophobic hate crime.
Right. But we'll find out he was beat to death by homosexuals because of the murder rate. The homicide rate, the murder rates in the homosexual community were epidemic.
Right, right.
And so his mother came out just days later and said he was beat to death by homosexuals on the base because he decided to start dating girls.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Doug, there's another one in Texas. In Texas, a school nurse, high school nurse, said there were five students that were HIV positive.
Oh, yeah.
Five students. And I went on the air and I said that she's lying. This is a lie.
Oh.
This is a ploy to promote the homosexual agenda.
Right. The popular idea at the time that the heterosexual community was just
equally,
as much risk.
Equally at risk. And it came out that the nurse lied and she did it to promote the homosexual agenda.
Yeah. Wow.
So quite a few predictions. One, the all-time most dramatic was the caller, young person from Denver, who called in on the air and said, I'm HIV positive.
Mm.
And Bob, I don't appreciate the things you're saying.
Uh-oh.
And I said, you're a liar.
You did?
You're a liar.
Wow.
Millions of people have been HIV positive.
Well, yeah, obviously.
So you don't say that when somebody's HIV positive. But this caller was lying. And I'm so thankful he stayed on the air long enough till we confirmed. And he then admitted, like 5 minutes later, he lied.
Wow.
So...
pretty intuitive.
And in other examples, the lesbian who wanted to pray to become a Christian, and she was lying.
Ah, I remember her. Yes, I remember.
So anyway, yeah, there are these predictions that pretty good track record.
Pretty good track record on predictions. So, but you have a good reference source. You always go back to the Bible in the biblical view.
Right, God's word, when you could rightly divide the word of truth. You want to know what that means? Read the Bible or get the plot.
Yeah, there you go. And that so you can call 1-800-836-9278. You can order a copy of the plot, or you can go to the website, kgov.com,
yes.
Go to the store, order audio or a written copy of the plot if you want to understand the Bible better.
So Tom Tancredo, two predictions.
Predictions on Mr. Tancredo.
The first one, what will be the signature issues that he's remembered for? That's not too hard, except for the third one. Mm-hmm. And the second one is, how will they stack up with the priorities that God has on Judgment Day?
Mm-hmm.
Two predictions.
Okay.
So
well,
the first.
Tom Tancredo, when I think Tom Tancredo, I think illegal immigration. That's kind of his number
one. That's number two.
Okay, that's his number two issue.
That's number two.
Term limits.
He's
Tom Tancredo.
Colorado leader of the term limits movement.
That's right.
He was elected on that.
That's
right. He was elected on that platform. And then he violated the term limits.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He stayed in a little too long, but he eventually bailed out. But term limits, illegal immigration,
right.
And I predict the third signature issue, how he will be remembered, is marijuana, his passionate defense of the right to get high smoking pot.
Really? You think?
I think that'll be the three.
Because that's a recent conversion of his, if I'm not mistaken.
But, like, you know, he supports small government, but every Republican says,
even though
they spend more than Bill Clinton spent.
Yeah.
They all lie
they
and
all,
say,
yeah, right.
yeah, for low spending and all that. But anyway, those three issues. So now, when Tom stands before Jesus Christ, as we all will.
That's right.
And I believe Tom is an actual Christian, that not just a Christian in name. I think he's an actual Christian.
I always thought so, and I've talked to
I
him personally,
so.
and he came across as one.
I still believe so. Well, Jesus said, many will say, Lord, Lord, I never knew you.
That's right.
But there are those who actually do believe in Jesus Christ and love him. I think Tom is one of those. I have no doubt he is. But when we stand before Christ and we see what God's priorities were, even for America, we'll find out it's the killing of innocent children. And it's the lie that we've evolved from animals.
Right.
And it's marriage between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all these fundamental beliefs. And, of course, the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How is term limits going to stack up on God's priorities for America?
I would not top 10.
Top 10?
No, not
top 50.
I don't even know if we'll make.
I don't think it'll be the top of any list.
It might not be on the list.
Except if God put together a list of the top distractions
that
cause Christians to lose track of what was important.
Yeah.
Term limits might be on the top 10, at least for the 90s.
Right, yeah.
Top 10. Illegal immigration. How important will it be to God that we allowed Mexicans to come into America without following the proper process? That the federal government pretended to say, don't come in, but really urged them to come in to take jobs and all. So how important will it be to God that we allowed Mexicans to come in without filing the proper paperwork?
I don't think
all?
That'll make it above the fold, as they say.
Not above
it
the fold.
It won't be a headline issue.
I don't believe it'll be on God's top 10 issues.
So.
And legalizing marijuana, Tom Tancredo, like others, has more passion for an adult's right to smoke pot than a child's right to be born.
Wow, powerful stuff.
So, Tom, I think you got to reprioritize your life, and it's not too late.
Let's pray for Tom Tancredo.
Where there's life, there's hope. God bless you guys.